track. He adopts the conceit that North by Northwest is really about the adventures of the suit worn by Cary Grant. For example, he writes at the beginning, North by Northwest isn't about what happens to Cary Grant, it's about what happens to his suit. The suit has the adventures, a gorgeous New York suit threading its way through America. The title sequence, in which the stark lines of a Madison Avenue office building are woven together, could be the construction of Cary Grant in his suit right there. He gets knitted into his suit before his adventure can begin. Indeed, some of the popular suitings of that time, windowpane or Glen plaid, reflected, even perfectly complemented office buildings. Cary's suit reflects New York, identifies him as a thrusting exec, but also protects him. And what else is a suit for? Reflects and protects. A slogan Roger Thornhill himself might have come up with. I think that the lines in the opening credit sequence are supposed to be the UN, but now that he says it could be any building, that makes sense too. Furthermore, he writes, they bundle him into a limousine and shoot out to Long Island. Not much manhandling yet. In fact, Martin Landau is impressed. He's a well-tailored one, isn't he? He loves a suit. Goat continuing, his suit is like a mouse victim of repeated cartoon violence. In the next shot, it's always fine. Mr. McEwen does have a thesis of sorts about what the film means, which is summed up as the following. You get the creeps and realize this whole thing is about insecurity, exposure, clothing anxiety. When Cary escapes out...
This is Ursula K. Le Guin, and you are listening to KBOO, the cheerful voice of social conscience. KBOO, Portland.
KBOO Community Radio couldn't do it without you. Support KBOO by becoming a member during our Wake Up the Neighborhood Fall Membership Drive, taking place now through September 21st. Your contribution goes towards grassroots community radio. Donate now by going to kboo.fm/give. Thank you.
Tune into KBOO every third Saturday at 10 p.m. for Query.
Dive into the spectrum of queer music as we explore artists across time and genre.
She's on my mind every hour of every day.
That's Query, every third Saturday at 10 p.m.
The things we could do, oh, it takes my breath away.
Here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
And I lose control, think I follow home.
This is Medea Benjamin. I hope you listen to Community Radio, KBOO 90.7.
Good morning. You're listening to That Vegan Show. I'm your host, Melissa Lesniak. Today, we're going to be getting to know three vegan entrepreneurs. But before we get to that, don't forget that we're in the middle of KBOO's Fall Membership Drive, focusing on the community and waking up the neighborhood. To support, go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321 to become a monthly sustaining member today. Help us reach our fundraising goal of $30,000. Our first guest is Eunice Reyes. She is the dynamic creator behind the award-winning YouTube series Rated V for Vegan and a pioneer in the world of vegan travel. Eunice combines her passion for plant-based cuisine with a zest for global exploration. The winner of 2 Taste Awards for Best Reality Series and Breakout Foodie of the Year, she invites us on her culinary adventures, proving that being vegan is a delicious way to see the world. Eunice shares insights from her journeys, favorite dishes, and travel spots to show how fun a vegan lifestyle can be. Welcome to the show, Eunice. Thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So I'd really love to hear about how you became vegan.
Yes. Okay, so I always like to start off this story by giving a little context. So growing up, I grew up Christian Seventh-day Adventist, which anyone familiar with that Christian denomination, they really believe in a plant-based diet, or at least they advocate a lot for it. They're part of a blue zone in Loma Linda, right? So if anybody that's all into that, they kind of know about that.
Yep.
So growing up, you know, I grew up enjoying, you know, a lot of plant-based food. And even though my family wasn't plant-based, like, we still ate meat. But we grew up from a very young age being like, veggie burgers, are delicious. We love them, but we also eat meat, right? So it was nice to have a good positive experience from a young age, like simultaneously. Like we, you know, and I went to a Hispanic church, so our potlucks were always vegetarian or plant-based, right? So we would have veggie chicken mole, right? So it was all plant-based mole, and it was so good. Like all of our friends, like none of our friends were vegetarian, but at church we were, and we would like enjoy all the food vegan, right? So we knew that food could taste just as good as the one you like ate anywhere else and made like plant-based, and it was still just as good, right? So fast forward to when I got older, I really got more interested in health and fitness and all of that. And the more research I would do on my own, I just really got into, when I got into baking, I would start substituting certain ingredients, mostly for the health benefits. Like I didn't want all the fats. Like let's say I didn't want to use a ton of oil. And like for baking, I noticed that, oh, if you substitute flax seeds for eggs, you can actually implement a lot of omega-3s, but eliminate a lot of the cholesterol and fat that eggs have, right? So that's where like things started turning, and I was like, this is kind of cool, right? I was really interested in the health benefits. And so when I started cooking more at home, which was like post-college, obviously every college student doesn't really cook until after they graduate or while they're at home. And then I made sure that I cooked all vegetarian at home and would only eat meat if I went to restaurants and stuff, because I noticed physically my body couldn't handle it. Like there was something in my digestion that I noticed. I was like, if I eat too much meat too many days in a row, I just feel disgusting. Like, and it was interesting because, you know, I wasn't trying to be vegetarian, I wasn't trying to be vegan, but I just noticed that already. And I had already given up milk in college, mostly because A, I noticed soy milk had less fat, had no cholesterol, right? It was the good fats. And also it lasted longer in the fridge. A convenience perspective, as a college student, you know, you're trying to save money. You're like, yeah, let me buy soy milk. It's not going to go bad as fast and it'll last longer. I don't have to buy it as often and it's healthier, right? So just those little changes like got me used to like, you know, a certain palate and like noticing that, oh, you know, plant-based foods and vegan food, depending on what I was doing, I really enjoyed it. And so when, you know, during my journey of like cooking vegetarian at home or vegan and then only eating out meat if I wanted to or whatever, if my parents made it, I noticed the difference in my body of like, I always felt better when I didn't eat that much meat, right? And then I became friends with somebody who was vegetarian, and like listening to him say all the benefits of the, like the reason he was vegetarian and plant-based basically reminded me of everything I grew up listening to, you know, like just the health message in general I would hear like from church and stuff. And like, I was, you know what? I was like, I've known this like my whole life, and this guy sees it from a totally different perspective, right? And then we would always go out to eat at restaurants, you know, and not eat any meat. And I was like, you know, this is not that bad. Like, you know, I would only meet when I went to restaurants, and now I'm going to restaurants not eating meat. And I was like, it's just as good. Okay, so then after going out to eat with my friend, eating vegetarian or vegan, because I at that point I did love it, and you know, and going out to restaurants when I would typically eat meat, we were not eating meat anymore. We were eating vegan, vegetarian food, and I was like, this is still great. I was like, I don't miss it, right? It's amazing. I was in Seattle all the time. I was like, it's amazing all the options that are available here. And I was like, and you know, and then I ended up watching the documentary What the Health. And after that documentary, I was like, oh no, I've seen too much. I've learned too much. I know too much. I can't go back, right? I just like it validated everything that I knew in my mind, but maybe just didn't want to confront it or like, you know, just like make it a reality to myself. And I was just like, you know, I think it's time. I was like, I need to at very least become vegetarian with the goal of becoming vegan, right? Like I knew my end goal would eventually be to become vegan, but I was gonna start vegetarian, right? So I was vegetarian for 3 years, but during that process in Seattle, because I'm a huge foodie, so at the time I loved watching all the food shows. I'll watch, you know, like the Anthony Bourdain, Somebody Feed Phil, like I just loved watching food shows and YouTubers that would go to restaurants and talk about food, right? And I just loved watching it. But when I became plant-based vegetarian, I was watching the same content and I was like, I can't eat anything that they're showing me. Like I can't eat anything. And obviously when you're starting out, it's not a good idea to be watching the foods that you just gave up, because it's like even more temptation to be like, oh, I want those tacos again. You know what I mean?
Sure. So
that's when like I had this idea. I was like, how come nobody is featuring the amazing vegan vegetarian food available here in Seattle? And I was like, and this is where Instagram started to become more popular within the foodie space. This was in 2017. And I was like, you know what? I think I should try it. And I mentioned it to some other foodie friends in Seattle that I was like connecting with at the time. And they're like, no, we think that's a really good idea, because they were featuring everything, all kinds of food, right? But nobody was just doing plant-based. And they're like, you should do it. And a friend of mine, she was like, you should call it Rated V for Vegan. And I was like, I love that. I was like, done. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. So I decided to start this YouTube channel. I didn't know anything about YouTube. I knew nothing. I literally was like, do I need a camera? I don't have a camera. I don't want to invest. I don't even know if I want to do this. I had an iPhone 7 at the time. And a cousin of mine who was into cameras and this, he's like, well, you need at least a microphone. He was like, because the visual, the camera isn't as important as the audio. If you have good audio, people won't care what kind of like, you know, video they're watching, at least the quality. I'm like, okay. I Googled, you know, what microphone to use for YouTube. Like I went in blind. I just knew that I was like, I'm just going to try this, right? If I don't try it, I'll never know if I'm going to like it or whatever, right? So I bought a tripod and a microphone, and I used my phone, you know? And my first video, I think, was on Cinnaholic in Seattle. So the all-vegan cinnamon roll place, they had just one on Shark Tank, I think, recently before. That was the first. Okay. Yeah, and so it's like a Cinnabon, but vegan, right? It was like everything there is vegan. And so it's funny now. I look at that video, I'm like, oh, my gosh. I was like, oh, I could have, like, this is terrible. but I liked it. I liked it because it was a form of storytelling. I loved listening to the owner's stories of why they were vegan or why they wanted to own a vegan business. Mm-hmm. I loved seeing like all the creativity in vegan food and how vegan food could look like, because for me it was newer, right? Like I was already very experienced in eating vegan food, but a lot of stuff was still very new to me. Like I had never had jackfruit before, you know, like I had never, you know, I myself was experimenting at home because I used to eat like, for example, queso fresco all the time. I was eating like one of those round ones, like once a week, and I needed to wean myself off of it. So that's when I learned like a cashew crema recipe. And once I tried that, I was like, this is incredible. I was like, I don't even desire to eat the dairy option that I was consuming before, because I had found a substitute that was really delicious. And so that to me was exciting, because I was like, if more people knew how fun and delicious vegan food could be or is, I feel like more people would want to try it, you know? And so I often tell people now that my goal with my channel is not to convert people to veganism. And they think, well, what do you mean? Aren't you vegan? Don't you want everybody to be vegan? And I'm like, well, sure, that'd be great. But honestly, my goal is to provide people with positive experiences, because it's through positive experiences is where people on their own will decide if they want to pursue a vegan diet. I feel, you know, becoming vegan is a personal conviction. Like everyone's going to do it for their own reason, and they're going to decide that reason on their own eventually. It might take a year, it might be overnight, it might be 5 years, 10 years, right? But unless they have positive experiences, they're never going to want to make the transition, period, right? And that's why I love featuring different foods around the world, because my other passion was traveling. I loved traveling. When I was at, you know, my corporate job in Seattle, my PTO balance was always at zero. My coworkers were like, you have 200 hours. I was like, you can't share that with me. So I love traveling, right? And so there was a time in 2019, I was ready to kind of do something different. And I didn't know what it was at the time, but my YouTube channel was already like a year old. I was already featuring some of the restaurants in Seattle, learning their stories. And I was like, you know, I kind of want to do something different. I don't know what I want to do. And a friend of mine, she like knew that I love traveling. She knew I had started my channel. And she was like, hey, she's like, I'm going to go to a teaching English program in Spain. She was like, you should come with me. You should do it. You should apply. Wow. Because it would allow you to, A, focus more on your YouTube channel, figure out what you want to do next. You get to travel a lot more because you'll already be in Europe. And, you know, because the job itself was I mean, it was amazing. I recommend it to everybody. It was like a glorified vacation because I only had to work 3 days a week. So I only had to work 15 hours a week. And then they give you a monthly stipend, which isn't a ton, but it's enough to cover your expenses. So, you know, I took some savings and stuff. And at first I was like, what? So I was like, this is insane. Am I really going to leave my, you know, secure corporate job that I worked so hard to get to go and teach in Spain and potentially live like a college student again? And I was like, you know what? I will never regret this. I was like, I think this is an opportunity that I have to take right now, because I had just finished paying off all my student debt. I had my lease at my apartment was about to go up, and my roommate at the time, she was moving away. And, you know, I had nothing holding me back. I literally, everything aligned, the stars aligned, where it was so perfect. I was like, I think I need to do this now, because if it's now, it's going to be never. And I'm employable, right? I have a degree, I have a job experience. Like, worst case, I find another corporate job when I come back, right? What's, you know, I can do it for a year, I can do it for longer if I want. So this was fall of 2019. I went to Spain. It was a blast. Like, I had so much fun. And to my surprise, because I was placed in Valencia, Spain. It's the third largest city in Spain. It's on the Mediterranean. Absolutely love it. It's underrated. For anybody looking to visit Spain, you got to go visit Valencia. It's the home of the paella. But to my pleasant surprise, there were so many vegan options. And I was like, I thought I was going to suffer, right? I was like, oh my goodness. Like, but then that's when I was like, okay, now I really want to feature as much vegan food as I can in Europe, right? I'm in Spain. I want to feature what does the vegan food look like in Valencia? What does it look like in Madrid and Barcelona? And you know, I was able to also travel to Paris in 2019 and Nice and London. And then we all know what happened in March of 2020.
Right.
I had a great 6-month experience in Europe, and then that was cut short because I had to go back home during the whole state of alarm. Thankfully, I didn't have to stay in Spain during that time. But thankfully, I was able to go back to Spain in the school year 2020 to 2021, because all my stuff was still there and I still had the visa. They had this whole thing, and people who had expired visas during that time were allowed to come back. And that's where I focused more about showing what vegan food in Spain looked like, right? And so my goal was, I just really want to show people that no matter where you are in the world, you will find vegan food. It's growing. It's becoming a global movement. And it's also cultural. Every culture is embracing it in some shape, way, or form, right? Which I think is beautiful. Or my other favorite thing is, did you know that these dishes are already traditionally vegan? They've been eating it forever. They've been vegan, you know, and it's traditional, like salmorejo, for example, in Spain. It's like a cold, creamy gazpacho. That's vegan. The only time it's not vegan is when they top it with like bacon, but the actual dish itself is vegan.
They have those good bacon bits now that are vegan, like different brands of them. I didn't even miss bacon bits until one time at an event I bought some, you know, Veg Fest type thing. And then I was putting them on everything.
Yeah. And so so that's my other thing is like, I know that, you know, travel is such an amazing experience, and I don't want people to feel like, oh, I can't go there because I'm not gonna be able to eat anything, right? So my goal was like, I want to show you all the amazing foods. All this time, like, I've been filming a lot of these places while I'm on vacation, but really it doesn't feel like vacation because I'm also filming, which is like work. Like, I laugh because all my friend jokes around with me how I'll be like exhausted from filming like different places. And I'm like, okay, you guys, I'm done. I'm taking a break. I'm not going to film. But then we're at this restaurant where this dish comes out. I'm like, wait, let me just actually film this really quick because it's really good. I want to share what it looks like, right?
Right.
But, you know, fast forward to today, I've been to like over 22 countries now.
Wow.
And have, you know, some of them have been as a non-vegan, but then most of them have been as a vegan, right? And Singapore, Taiwan, Seoul, you know, Tokyo, like all these places have amazing vegan food. There's, you know, Spain, it's growing like a lot as well. Like literally every country, even when I'm thinking, I don't know if I'm going to find vegan food here. Like, to my surprise, they have vegan food. Like, I'm going to be hosting a trip to Cambodia this fall in November. and Vietnam. Vietnam, I knew, would have vegan options for sure because it has a large Buddhist community, right, and they developed a lot of mock meats. But Cambodia, I was like, I don't know. I was like, I don't really know anything about Cambodia food. The only thing I did know is that it was heavy in meat. But then I, after talking to one of the tour guides, he goes, no, no. He's like, there's a lot of vegan food there. I was like, and he's like, and it's like their traditional food too. It's not like they're substituting it. I was like, what? So I'm like, I'm so excited to go experience that because I've never had Cambodian food because here, at least in the US, it's very meat heavy. So I'm really excited. And I just want to share with the world how fun, you know, vegan lifestyle is, how like the food, how the variety of food, like what it looks like, what it tastes like, you know, no matter where. Mexico City, some of the best vegan food I've ever had. You would think that they, people would think, no, in Mexico, they eat too much meat. They do, but they also have amazing vegan food. You know, El Salvador, where my family's from, even there, like, oh my gosh, I had the time of my life. Like, it was so much fun. Like, obviously there, this vegan scene is much, much smaller, but it's present. Even in the tiniest country in Central America, it's present, right? Which I love. So yeah, that's my goal, is to just encourage people to travel the world, experience different cultures, and not be afraid to find their vegan cuisine.
I love how you like have intuition, like, I need to do this now, things are lining up, I'm gonna push those doubts aside. Like, that's a really good role model for the rest of us who sometimes let those doubts come, and you can just tell like how enthusiastic and passionate you are about this. And it's really important. And I look forward to meeting you at the Compassionate Living Festival on September 28th. If people want more information about what you do, what's your website?
So my website is ratedvfood.com. And you can also find my YouTube channel it's Rated V for Vegan, or also my handle is at ratedvfood, which is also my Instagram handle, at ratedvfood. And yeah, I'm excited to meet you too at the festival. And I definitely encourage people that if they're dreaming to try something, don't be afraid, just do it, because it's those uncomfortable times and spaces that are actually the refinement that you need. And it's just that push that'll get you going. And it's not comfortable, but hey, diamonds need fire to be formed, right? So yes.
Yeah, I love that. That's very inspirational. Well, thanks so much for coming by that vegan show. And I loved hearing about what you do. And look forward to meeting you.
Yes, you too. Thank you.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to That Vegan Show here on listener-supported KBOO Community Radio. If you're enjoying this conversation, show your support for this program and all your favorite KBOO programs by donating to KBOO's Wake Up the Neighborhood Fall Membership Drive today at kboo.fm/give. KBOO is 56 years old and one of the oldest community radio stations in the country and one of the oldest media institutions in Portland. 80% of our funding comes from our members. We're independent, community-supported, volunteer-powered radio, bringing you the grassroots, independent, and one-of-a-kind voices from your community, such as my next guest, salon owner Kimmy. And now I'd like to welcome back Kimmy. She's been on the show in the past. She is the owner and operator at Vegan and Cruelty-Free Herodactyl Hair Salon. Her hair salon is a friendly, peaceful, LGBTQIA supportive and inviting salon. We will discuss how Kimmy's salon got started and also some details about the Compassionate Living Festival. I'm so glad to have you back on the show again, Kimmy.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
And just as a side note, Kimmy is my hairstylist I've been going to for years, and my family, and we just love going to her and love the results. So Kimmy, I wanted to hear about how Herodactyl got started.
Okay. So I have been doing hair for a long time. I've been vegan since 2011. In working at different salons, I found that I've never, when I was working for someone else, I could never decide what products to use and different things about the salon that I would change. And so I realized that I was ready to open my own place. And a big reason was just so I could have control about things like having cruelty-free and vegan products and everything I use and sell are vegan and cruelty-free. And so I opened up my salon in 2015. It was under a different name at the time. It was called Dapper Earth. And so I had that place for a few years till 2017. I needed to change locations. So I found a place down the street, also on Belmont. The first place was on 26 in Belmont, and I found a place on the corner of Cesar Chavez and Belmont and leased that, and decided since I was making changes, I'd change the name to the name that I had thought of originally, and people thought it was silly, but I decided to go ahead and use it, Herodactyl. Mm-hmm. And that went well. I had my person who I call my daughter, she's the best friend of my kids, who's, you know, pretty much a daughter to me. She calls me mom. Her name is Jackie, and she is a great artist. And so I asked her to do a logo, or just an image for a logo. I just told her, you know, I'm thinking a dinosaur with a pompadour. She sent me several options, and I picked the one that I'm using. And so, you know, that went really well. I put all that up and did the grand opening, and I had really good experience with the customers that I attract. Everyone is especially amazing. And I, after I moved, I ended up having people interested in working there. So over the years, I've acquired three other amazing stylists who work there, and it's just the best group of people I've ever worked with. It's just different than any experience I've had ever working in any salon. There's just, we share everything. There's no trouble. We don't have any trouble. We just love each other and support each other. And three of us are vegan. Ginger is mostly vegan, but not always. She's very open-minded and compassionate and amazing. And she actually does palm readings and card readings sometimes. And that's really cool. People love that. And I just love watching everyone work, and everyone's really, really great. So yeah, all our color that we use, all the products that we sell, all the products that we use on people are vegan and cruelty-free. It's a great place. And I'm proud of it. Sometimes I sit back and I'm just really happy to be here in this place. And I feel so fortunate to work with these people who are, it's just like we're hanging out in my bedroom listening to records. That's what it's like all the time. And we have started something we call Herioki. And that's available to anyone anytime they feel like singing. I have a Bluetooth karaoke mic, and people can sing while they're getting their hair done, or afterwards, or whilst they're waiting for someone else to get their hair done. it's so fun when people just sing.
That sounds really fun.
I don't think I've gotten you to sing, if I remember right. I don't think you have.
I don't know if anyone wants to hear me sing, but that I guess that's the purpose of karaoke, right?
It's about the joy of singing. That's all. It's not about trying to be a rock star. It's not a contest. It just feels good.
Yeah, I'm glad you followed your own inner guidance and, took the opportunity to change the name to what you wanted. You know, sometimes I feel like that's what I'm learning a lot too. Like, we have to listen to ourselves over, other voices. We know what's best for us a lot of the time. And I'm not surprised at all that you have such great energy and you're such a great listener. I'm not surprised at all you've attracted great clients and also great coworkers to your salon.
Oh, thank you.
Kimmy is also a gold sponsor for the upcoming Compassionate Living Festival, which I am also on the planning committee for that. And that's going to be Saturday, September 28th at Norse Hall. And I will be adding information on the KBOO episode page for that. And also, you're going to have a booth
mm-hmm.
at the festival.
Yeah, this is the first time I've ever done anything like this. But whenever I've gone to a festival, I thought, I should have a booth. I should have a table. So I'm doing it. It's going to be, I think, myself and Ginger and I think Iris are going to probably, I don't know if we'll all be there at the same time or if we're going to sort of switch off.
Sure.
We're going to be offering definitely Herodactyl mugs and Herodactyl canvas bags
mm-hmm.
and possibly t-shirts and hoodies and maybe some product. And we're going to have sort of a hair advice booth. And we're going to, people can schedule appointments. People can... I think Ginger is going to be doing readings to anyone who wants that, and I want
one.
Hey, and I will definitely have my karaoke mic. And if no guests of the event feel like singing, I know Ginger will. She's a great singer.
That's great. Well, I'm glad to. Yeah, I'll be glad to see you have a booth and.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah. I'm looking forward to getting some good food. Hopefully, while I'm there.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of good food, and I know that's still in the works a bit too. It's really been important for me to be able to come to your salon and not have to ask, is this vegan? Is this cruelty free? So I think when I first started coming to you several years ago, I think in my head, I still wanted to ask sometimes, even though I didn't need to.
I know people do ask a little bit, like I always have lollipops and treats. Well, not always. When the ants aren't going crazy, I will have lollipops.
Yeah.
And, is this vegan? Yeah.
Yeah, we can't help ourselves sometimes.
I know. You're vegan. That's the thing about having a place that's labeled, as vegan. You don't have to ask, like a restaurant. Even I do that at restaurants that are vegan restaurants. I'm just like, I'm not sure. This says cheese.
Right. If you better put a Z in that cheese, yeah. Or we're gonna have questions.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Check in. And it's nice to not just to know, but to not have that feeling like you're putting someone out by asking.
Right.
You have vegan options.
Yeah, it's been a really great experience for me. Like, I had stopped doing hair color for a while because it seemed like kind of a hassle. Like, the person I was going to, they were very helpful, but
yeah,
there was, and I mean, maybe also vegan hair color has gone, like, probably come a long way since when I started using it. But
yeah,
you just know, what's vegan, what's not, you know how to work with it. And
people, if they're not vegan, or maybe even if they are, well, oh, your hair color is vegan. Oh, does it last very long? You know, they think it's different.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as good because it's vegan, but it just happens to be, it just happens to not have, they don't like make it weaker or make it more because it's vegan. It just is vegan. I think for me, see, that line has always been vegan. Some stuff just is. It just is. They don't like, oh, we're going to take the stuff that makes it work out so it can be vegan. You know, it's not like that.
Yeah, I think, I guess with food or with hair color or anything, like if somebody has a difficult experience or something, or hears about one, then they just think that, you know, until they're proven differently.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
If people wanted more information about your salon or what you do, how would they find out? What's your website and what socials are you on?
Well, it's herodactyl.com, and Herodactyl has an Instagram and a Facebook, though at this time, oh my gosh, I'm not keeping up. I'm not promoting through my website or through the social media.
It's a lot to keep up with.
I'm going to try to get better about that. I mean, if you go on my website or Instagram or Facebook, you will see pictures. You will see stuff, but it will be old. Not that means it's bad. It's just that I don't keep it up. Well, I'm going to try. My daughter's going to help me out a little bit.
Right. That's what it seems like, people are hiring younger than us, like social media managers and things like that, because it's just too much. You know, you're running a whole business with employees. It's just too much to be keeping up with that too.
If anyone has any questions, just a message to the salon. You can call, but we try to answer the phone, but if we're doing hair, we let it voicemail. So leave a voicemail. Don't be afraid to bug us. Send us an email. Look on our website. We all have bios on our website, including Greta, who I haven't mentioned yet. She's our shop dog.
Yes.
She is, like, if you're going there to see the dog and pet it and stuff, pet her, you might be disappointed. You might be disappointed because she may just bark at you.
She's kind of reminds me of my cat. You just have to come to them on their own terms. Like, because sometimes I'll be sitting there, like, while my hair is setting, and Greta will come by and want to be petted.
If you're laying down in the shampoo bowl, she'll come over and lick your feet. If you're sitting down processing with the heat on your head, she will come up to you and you can pet her head. But if you come into the salon, if she bothers to get up from her bed, she will come over and very likely bark at you until you sit down. It's just, I'm working on her greeting skills.
It's not a scary barf, though. It's just like she's just got to get acclimated to the new person. She loves my son, though.
Yeah, she loves anyone who's a kid. Not that your son is a kid, but she knew him when he was a kid.
Right.
And she, if you come in with a child, she won't bark at them.
Yeah. Usually. I mean, that's actually good because some animals are, you know, because kids are kind of, you know, squirrely and move around a lot. Some animals don't like that. So that's actually really good. That.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bit with her. And she grew up on the streets.
Yeah.
So she's nice to have around, but also she will, basically, you'll come in and feel like you're being yelled at sometimes. Oh.
You just gotta follow directions. Just sit down and let her get acclimated to you, and then she's okay. All right. Well, thanks, Kimmy, and I look forward to seeing you at the salon and at the Compassionate Living Festival.
Yeah, me too. I'm looking forward to it.
And I'll be in probably in October for my 40s hairdo.
Okay.
Heads up. Yeah, I did want to mention too, like, it's really nice that you can book through your website and, you know, you can pick which hairstylist and time, and might need to book all in advance sometimes for Kimmy. She fills up a lot.
And I unfortunately don't take new clients anymore, but Iris and Ginger and Amy do. And so.
Yeah. Amy did one of my 40s hairdo. I'm always coming in wanting a hairdo from some other decade. And she did great. And you did great with my 20s hairdo.
Yeah. Everyone there, I just absolutely trust completely. Everyone's great.
Okay. Well, thanks for being on the show again, and I'll see you soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, now we will meet Heather Zeitzwolf of Savvy Frugal Vegan. Heather is a passionate speaker and advocate. She's dedicated to helping people transition into veganism and adopt a plant-based diet. Her mission is to challenge the status quo and encourage others to think differently, particularly regarding veganism and ethical living. Heather guides people toward embracing the benefits of veganism and provides the tools needed to maintain a cruelty-free lifestyle. She is dedicated to animal rights, equality, and justice, inspiring others to make compassionate choices. Welcome to the show today, Heather.
Thanks for having me. This is so exciting.
Yes, I'm so glad to learn more about Savvy Frugal Vegan. It definitely sounds like something I need in my life.
Well, you know, I love saving money. I'm an accountant, so it comes with the territory.
Great. Well, how did your business get started?
Well, it's an offshoot, actually, from my other business, which is called Zeitzwolf Accounting. I'm known in some circles as the vegan CPA, and I've worked with a lot of vegan business owners and businesses over the years, and I love to help them make their businesses more profitable. But at the same time, I want to encourage all those non-vegans out there to try a plant-based life. And so I've decided to dive into that and take my talents and knowledge of social media, podcasting, video, and use that as a tool to help people learn more about a plant-based living. And a lot of people think vegans are angry and we don't eat anything and it's a life of giving up things. And I want to make sure that people understand that, no, we are fun-loving people, we're compassionate, and it's not that difficult to become vegan.
Sounds like you have a great combination to help future vegans and also vegan businesses.
Yes, exactly. And I want to do more with vegan businesses. Right now, I do work with non-vegans, but as long as they fit my ethics.
Okay. So you do speaking, activism, YouTube, do so many things.
Too many, yes. I suffer from brilliant idea syndrome. That's what my coach tells me.
Now, how do you get them done? Because I have ideas and then they just, I don't know what happens to them sometimes.
I have to get organized. I have a lot of lists. I use a lot of technology. I used to be a project manager, so I love to organize things. And, you know, sometimes you have these great ideas and they just never come to fruition. But other times these things just bubble up and you get other people involved and you can start to run with it. And, you know, sometimes it's something that you might make money at, but other things it just might be volunteering and just something that you're passionate about. So I try to be as involved as I can with all the things that make me that make me who I am and makes me like live for the next day.
That's great seeing someone with so much passion for veganism, but also, you know, meeting people where they are too.
Exactly. I think it's so important that we be understanding, because some people may have grown up as vegan and they've been vegan all their life, but for the most part, most people have not. They've had a path where they've eaten meat, and let's just face it, that is just so ingrained in our society and it's just the norm. And so to think about eating vegan seems bizarre to a lot of people. They're like, well, wait a minute, you know, of course, you know, we hear the joke all the time, like, where are you going to get your protein? It's like, okay, protein is not even an issue when you're vegan. It, you know, you, I, where are you going to get your fiber is where you ask the people exactly. With the, you know, with that are eating the meat. Like, I think you should be more concerned about pooping than, sorry, I've said pooping on your show, but vegans always get, talk about poop. But, you know, so I want to make sure that people understand that it's not expensive, because people always think like, oh, well, I want to try plant-based, but it's so expensive. Well, it doesn't have to be. And we don't have to eat all the processed foods. People will say like, oh, well, I never can give up cheese and vegan cheese is gross and all this. And, you know, there's all those tropes that are out there. And of course, you can make your own vegan cheese. There's local artisans that are making wonderful vegan cheeses. So there are substitutes and ways of doing things. And so I just like to educate and let people know, because I have found that I have fed non-vegans and they have been like, oh my God, I can't believe this is so delicious. And then if they didn't know it was vegan, they are blown away when I tell them it's vegan.
Yeah, I think definitely vegan cheese has come a long way. And then I also think, you know, after you, if you do go vegan and you're not eating dairy, then, you know, you're not getting those chemicals and literally addictive type of things that are in cheese. And it's just different after you aren't have eating cheese for a while too. Cause I was also a vegetarian at one point who said, I don't think I can give up cheese. So it definitely, it can happen if you give it up for a bit.
Yeah, and I was lactose intolerant as a child, so I got used to get really sick from dairy. I had no understanding of like what was causing it, and my brother would come over and try to cheer me up by making cheesecakes, and it was getting worse, and eventually we figured it out. But you know, when you're a kid and you try to fit in, you'll have things like pizza, and you'll just deal with being sick. And it wasn't until I became let's just call it hardcore vegan that I finally got all the dairy out of my body, because there is dairy in so much. I mean, if you're not reading those labels, you have no idea. They slip it in all kinds of places.
That's so true. I think I found it in gum one time.
Ew.
Like, but why? So tell us about some of your workshops and retreats and events that you've had.
Yeah, so I've, you know, like I said, Savvy Frugal Vegan is fairly new, but it's an offshoot of my business that I've been doing. And last year I put on a retreat for women entrepreneurs. We went on a cruise and we learned all about business and we had workshops online. So I've worked with a lot of people virtually. And so we did a lot of things through Zoom. I put on free workshops every once in a while. You can check my website for that. And it's really to help small business owners, because a lot, and I've decided now to focus on a lot more local vegan businesses now that COVID is over and we can meet more locally and we don't have to necessarily be on Zoom. But so many people that are passionate about being a vegan and wanting to start a business around veganism, maybe they don't have a background in business and they don't understand all the things. I mean, there are so many moving parts when it comes to a business, and especially when it comes to the financial part. Money problems is usually what ends up closing in their doors. Cash flow issues, especially if it's a business around food. Food is a tough one because food spoils. I mean, if you've got inventory that spoils, that can be a major issue, especially the prices keep going up and down when it comes to all the ingredients. And so pricing becomes an issue. Rent, that's another big one. Labor cost. So understanding all these different things is super, super important. And so I've built all these different workshops to address all those things so that they can have a better understanding of what the heck makes up all this stuff to make a business. It's not just making delicious food or having a passion. You have to understand the business part of it.
Definitely. I mean, I think even speaking for myself that, you know, if I have a good idea or think about something, it's so intimidating because I don't, you know, have a lot of knowledge about business, and it just feels like too overwhelming to learn it, and I don't have a business partner. So that's great. Do you have them, like, are they asynchronous and synchronous kind of thing? Sorry, the work lingo comes in here, you know, where you can access it later if you can't attend, or how does that work?
Yeah, so I've done it different ways. So I've had group programs where, you know, we meet as a group and then it'll be recorded. So if you can't meet together, you can watch the video afterwards. I've done a membership before. That's probably going to be happening again in the future around, you know, more a vegan centered membership. That hasn't come out yet. But yes, so I have all kinds of workbooks that I give people and that they can go through it. And I'm very hands-on. I have this approach where I want people to feel like they can ask any kind of question, because I don't believe that there's any stupid questions, because you know, business is complicated and we all have different backgrounds. So we get exposed to different things. I didn't know anything about podcasting until I started into podcasting. And now we had a conversation before we started. And it's like, I learned from all these different people that I know. So we're all in different places. And we can all learn from each other. And so I think group programs are a great place for people to thrive as business owners, because not only are they getting information from my experience, but they also have their own experience and they have shared experiences. And as entrepreneurs, it's so great to know that maybe somebody else is going through the tough things that you're going through, because we are sort of siloed in our business. And oftentimes we're solopreneurs that are doing this. We don't have employees, or if we do have employees, maybe we have issues with the employees and it's expensive and we're trying to deal with all those things and taxes. And, you know, there's just so much. And so I just want to be there to support everyone.
No, that's really important work that you're doing. And like I said, it's really great that you have that expertise. And yes, that other people's expertise, it just sounds wonderful.
Yeah. And then it's also, you know, part of it is networking too, because people team up together. I've had workshops where one person met another person and they were in different states, and then they became like best friends and then started working together. And so the more we can get people together and build a community, the more that we can help each other. I really feel that we should not treat each other as competition as entrepreneurs. We should treat each other as a community and build and learn from each other, because there's room for everyone. There's enough customers to go around, and we're not always going to be maybe somebody's flavor, you know, so there's always somebody else out there.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that we're going to hear your expertise during the panel at the Compassionate Living Festival next month.
I can't wait. Oh my God, I'm so excited about this. I remember when VegFest was in the basement of Benson High School. It felt like it was the basement. Maybe it wasn't the basement, but it was tiny. And then I had volunteered at the convention hall. It was so exciting when it became big like that. But of course, you know, then we had COVID and all that kind of stuff. And so now it's so great to be out and about with people again.
Yeah, and like I was thinking about what you do too, and like we need that community building more than ever, because you know, we all were separated, and it's kind of hard to reintegrate into communities again. At least I'm finding.
Yeah, I volunteered with high school students over the summer for a business program, and I was shocked how these young people, how they had so much anxiety, social anxiety, and it stemmed from going through that whole thing where they were at home and not being around other people. And now they're getting older and they're the ones that are going to be going out into the workforce soon. So we have to, community has to be really at the forefront.
Yeah, I work in schools, but I had been working at a clinic for a while and then got back into schools, you know, so I was working with kids, but it's kind of different being in a school versus like in a clinic where they just come in and then leave. And even before COVID, I'm very sensitive to other people's emotions. And I just was like, wow, like this is a lot more anxiousness in the school than I remember feeling in the past. I've been working with kids for 30 years. So that I think it was already building before COVID, and as so many things just kind of catapulted, you know, the anxiety along, unfortunately. So it's really important for us to try. I don't think there's enough of like recognizing that and processing it for any of us, really.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing I love about veganism, it being in the kitchen and cooking, getting kids to cook in mm-hmm. the kitchen. I hated to cook when I was a kid, but maybe it was what I was having to cook with my mom. But if we're making delicious food together, that is a great way to come together. So hopefully we'll see kids at this event. I remember seeing kids at Veg Fest, and I met a lot of parents where their kids dragged them, and the parents told me that their kids wanted to become vegan and they didn't know what to feed them. And so I'm hoping that we're going to see more of those people there at this event.
Yeah, definitely should be seeing some kids and hopefully some teens at the event. It's definitely for everyone. If people wanted to learn more about your business, Savvy Frugal Vegan, how can they find you? Like website, socials?
Yeah. So I'm you can find me at Savvy Frugal Vegan on Instagram, on Facebook, and on YouTube. So right now I'm most active on YouTube, but if you wanted to send me a direct message, you can just go on Instagram at Savvy Frugal Vegan. I also have a website with the same name, Savvy Frugal Vegan. And I'm open to conversations if you know, want to just chat. And you know, if you've got a business and you've got some questions, hit me up. Let's talk.
Yeah, you're very approachable. So I encourage our listeners to take that to heart. Well, thanks for coming by that vegan show today. It's been great to meet you, and I look forward to meeting you in person during the Compassionate Living Festival on September 28th. And I will have more information about that and also your website and YouTube and socials on the episode page of that vegan show on the KBOO webpage. It's a mouthful.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, it's great getting to know you a little bit here.
Thank you.
I wanted to mention a few upcoming local vegan events. The Flipside Vegan Market is tomorrow, August 24th, from 12 to 5 p.m. at 6550 North Interstate Avenue. You can find more info on their Instagram page and also on my KBOO episode page for this show. I will be there tomorrow too. I'd love if any listeners wanted to stop by and see me at the Northwest Veg table. I'll be talking about another vegan event, the Compassionate Living Festival, which is September 28th at Norse Hall. And KBOO will be live broadcasting from 2 to 5 that day during part of the event. So that's very exciting. All of these
great vegan collaborations. I love it. And we are out of time for today. Big thanks to my guests for being here. Remember to help KBOO support our $30,000 Wake Up the Neighborhood Fall Membership Drive goal by showing your support today at kboo.fm/give, or you can text KBOO to 44321. Every donation is sincerely appreciated. I also wanted to wish my mom a happy birthday today. I love you, Mom. I'm so glad we could spend some time together this month. Hope all of you will be back next month, the fourth Friday at 11 a.m. for That Vegan Show right here on KBOO.
To KBOO Port.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Hoy viernes 23 de agosto del 2024.